You're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska, K201 DA in King Cove, Alaska.
Gigi Perez had a massive viral hit with Sailor Song. Streamed over a billion times, it's become a phenomenon. But it came after Perez had been dropped by her record label and she'd moved back home with her parents.
I didn't know what I was going to do. There's this worry of, okay, I am 24 and I need to get a job, but this is something that I'm investing in and I want to see this through a little bit more.
Coming up, Perez joins me to play songs from her debut album, At the Beach in Every Life. And we'll talk about how Sailor Song went from hit to anthem.
When Sailor Song started to connect, the immediate thing that I realized was seeing how many young queer people were listening and letting it into their hearts and that it meant that to them.
Plus live performances off the new album in front of a studio audience. Join us, won't you? It's Gigi Perez on World Cafe. Cannot tell you how impressed I was by Gigi as a performer and as a human being. I so very much enjoyed this conversation. I think you will too. It's coming up in just a few minutes after Joni Mitchell. Here's Coyote.
No regrets, Coyote. We just come from such different sets of circumstance. I'm up all night in the studios and you're up early on your ranch. You'll be brushing out a broodmare's tail while the sun is ascending, and I'll just be getting home with my real to real. There's no comprehending just how close to the bone and the skin and the eyes and the lips you can get. Still feel so alone and still feel related, like stations in some relay. You're not a hit and run driver, no, no, racing away. You just picked up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Farmhouse burning down in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. We roll right past that tragedy till we turn into some roadhouse lights where a local band was playing. Locals were up kicking and shaking on the floor. The next thing I know, that coyote's at my door. He pins me in a corner, he won't take no. He drags me out on the dance floor and we're dancing close and slow. Now he's got a woman at home. He's got another woman down the hall. He seems to want me anyway. Why'd you have to get so drunk and leave me on that way? You just picked up a hitcher, a prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. In the face on the road to Balgeny near my old hometown, he went running through the whisker weed chasing some prize down, and a hawk was playing with him. Coyote was jumping straight up and making passes, had those same eyes just like yours under your dark glasses, privately probing the public rooms, peeking through keyholes and numbered doors where the players lick their wounds and take their temporary lovers and their pills and powders to get them through this passion play. No regrets, Coyote, I just get off a bogey. You just pick up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Coffee shop. He's staring a hole in his scrambled legs. He picks up my scent on his fingers while he's watching the waitress's legs. He's too far from the Bay of Fundy, from Appaloosas and Eagles and Tides, and the air-conditioned cubicles and the the carbon ribbon rides are spelling it out so clear. Either he's gonna have to stand and fight or take off out of here. I tried to run away myself, to run away and wrestle with my ego. This flame you put here in this Eskimo, in this hitcher, in this prisoner of the fine white lines, of the white lines on the free.
What's up? I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe from NPR. Viral hits, blessing and a curse, right? Out of nowhere, millions of people know who you are, or at least think they do. And sometimes that's all they ever care to know. In the case of Gigi Perez, not looking beyond her viral hit, Sailor Song, would be a misstep, because much like an iceberg, there's a lot beneath the surface. Perez was pursuing music at Berkeley when her older sister Celine passed away. Signed to a major label and suddenly dropped, she moved back home with her parents. It's there where she taught herself production and began work on her debut album, At the Beach in Every Life. It's a record that isn't afraid to openly embrace grief or ask questions of faith as a queer woman. It's also a record that's joyful, with the smash hit serving as a declaration of love that anyone can wrap their arms around. Gigi joins me today to talk about how we got to this moment, from illegal bootlegs of Legally Blonde to her first look at the music industry apparatus. Plus, what it's like to be the voice you needed as a teenager for a whole new generation of teenagers. Here's Gigi Perez with the performance of Sleeping. It's World Cafe. Drop me insane.
recorded live on World Cafe. It's Gigi Perez with the performance of Sleeping. It's from the new album At the Beach in Every Life. It is her debut album. Gigi Perez is my guest. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. It is a pleasure to meet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Of course. The new album just dropped. And I want to talk about that. But I just to give context to the audience, I want to talk a little bit about your origin story, you know, because people who just heard you sing, like belt out some of those songs, like I mean, might not be surprised to know that you had a little bit of a theater background. Was that your first love?
You know, yes, my older sister really loved theater, mm-hmm. and she clinged onto that very quickly. You know, loved Disney and the princesses and all that kind of stuff. And we would do karaoke, and she would make me sing the guy parts. And so I was like, you know, a whole new world, Aladdin kind of thing. And she was like the princess. She had an incredible voice, and when it came to extracurricular stuff, she started doing theater. I wanted to do soccer, but I didn't make the team in sixth grade. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do theater.
Okay.
I did want to be around her, you know. She was definitely my role model. So I remember the first musical I saw was Legally Blonde on YouTube. I think it was a bootleg of Legally Blonde. And it was absolutely incredible. And it changed my life just watching like somebody's like old camera, like in the audience watching it. You know, I had a voice teacher, and she got me singing classical music at an early age. And one day after practice, when I was 15, I went to the piano and I taught myself some chords. And from there, I just fell in love with it, fell down the hole, and haven't stopped writing since.
I think about the transition from theater to focusing on your own music creation, right? There is the sense that there are art where you inhabit someone else. Right? Like when you're an actor or actress or something like that, you're playing a character and it's your spirit, but it's someone else's words. But when you're singing or you're writing, those are your words. Mm-hmm. Was that at all a motivator?
I think that subconsciously, yes. Because when I first started writing, it was the first time, one, that I understood myself and that I didn't have something I was trying to fit into.
Yeah.
It wasn't working. You know, I wasn't getting casted as an ingenue role anytime soon. And then I started writing, and it was finally my own personal acknowledgement of my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I didn't grow up with the tools to really understand myself. And I was struggling a lot with my sexuality. It was really, really difficult to come to terms with being gay. And I think it was the first time that I was able to admit it to myself. It was the first time it felt like a secret that I could say out loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, songwriting and just being an artist, it saved me generally in who I am today, but that teenager really, really needed a lifeline.
This is World Cafe. Gigi Perez is my guest. You mentioned your sister, Celine. She passed away in 2020, and several of the songs on the album are about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Fable in particular was an important song for you to wrap your arms around and be able to write and complete that song. Mm-hmm. You can hear both Celine and your younger sister, Bella, both of their voices on this song.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about why this was one that gave you a little bit more clarity and one that you wanted to be on the record?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Fable felt like where the grief and my existential dread and questioning of religion, questioning of is there a God, is there not? You know, things that I grew up very strongly believing in. And I remember in church growing up when they would talk about the doubt of God. Yeah. I didn't understand what they meant, because I lived in a world and I saw the world through the eyes where there was a creator that was looking out for me and that had a plan for my life.
Yeah.
And that was something that was so deeply embedded into me. I never considered otherwise. I think after Celine passed away, little by little, that whole story started to really fall apart for me. Initially, it was because of my sexuality. And then where I landed when I wrote Fable, it was like so far past anything that had to do with myself. There's something that clicked for me where, and I wrote in the song, is just because you believe doesn't mean that it's there.
Yeah.
And I think when I had that moment, I spiraled to really acknowledge that it is a faith-based thing. Whatever you choose to believe in life, your worldview is, that is faith. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It took me all those years to reach that point. And once that cracks, and I think that's why a lot of people, once they have that thing, and a lot of adults that have a similar background where they grew up in the church and, you know, they had their very strong set of beliefs, whether they really truly believed it or not, but they were indoctrinated in that way, is coming out of it and not really having a footing on what is real. Why it matters so much to me now, and these questions matter so much to me now, is because I don't have an answer for what comes after. Like, I don't have a reassurance of where my sister is. And I think that that is something that has really caused a lot of strife. And I think that Fable was my expression of it. When I wrote it, I just remember being like, finally, because it's so complex where something like grief meets faith.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a listen to it. Recorded live, Gigi Perez with Fable.
Truth in the path of your hand.
stars blink like my sister's eyes. Stars blink like my sister's eyes. Stars blink like her eyes.
Recorded from the stage of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia, that is Gigi Perez with a performance of Fable. Her new album, her debut album, is called At the Beach in Every Life. We've got more live performances to get to, plus what's it like to go through the ringer of the music industry in less than 2 years? We'll find out when we get back to World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. I am Kaleo. Let's continue our conversation with Gigi Perez, she of the viral hit Sailor Song. She just released her debut album, At the Beach in Every Life. But before the viral fame, she was signed to a major label, and I wanted to ask her about it.
So in 2021, you signed to a major label. You put out an EP, opened for Coldplay, opened for Noah Cyrus, and then 2 days into a UK tour, you were dropped less than 2 years later. That is an intense stretch of time and a very, I imagine, like profound look at the way the music industry works.
Totally. It was such a whirlwind and it swept me off my feet. Prior to getting signed, that was really my first introduction to life with grief. It was 6 months after Celine passed away, and, you know, I didn't do anything for those 6 months, really. You know, everything was just so black. Everything was just black. And I would just cry out to God that there would be a way for me to express it through music. Because also at this point, I wasn't able to write anything. I mean, it's like, it takes so long, and that's why this album, it means so much to me, is that it's taken so long for the experience to marinate enough to where I could find the words for what it's been like. And anybody that goes through a sudden loss of someone very close to you understands that it's one of those things that it takes your breath away, and it takes so long to find it. And that was the context I was going into the music business with.
Congratulations, you've got an album deal. You're coming out of one of the most intense experiences of your life now. Get ready to go do some promo tours and stuff like that. I can't even imagine.
It was crazy. And I think, you know, what got me here today was posting and sharing online. You know, it was sharing and building an online community.
And so that situation ends. And what really impressed me and really kind of surprised me was the first thing that you did after that experience, because part of me would be like, this ain't it. Maybe music isn't it. Mm-hmm. And instead you doubled down and learned how to produce and mm-hmm. record your own music, mm-hmm. which I think that takes a lot of courage to walk through that door again after mm-hmm. having that experience.
Yeah, I think that I remember I was contemplating a lot. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm like, this place is crazy.
Yeah.
I want to get out of here. And I finally have the literal opportunity to do that. You know, I thought I was like, maybe I would be a songwriter. Maybe I'll get into publishing and that'll, because I can't be an artist. I was like, I definitely had that moment.
You thought it might have been a blessing that this was over.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think regardless of whether or not I was going to continue as an artist or not, it was an opportunity to reset and reframe my life, my values. I moved back home to Florida and I reconnected with my real life, not a life that involved had so many expectations baked into what being an artist was. My first record deal, I thought things were supposed to go a specific way. I thought I was supposed to experience specific things, and it was an illusion. It was really,
yeah.
I walked into an illusion of, even though everybody tells you, you know, look out for this and get ready for this. And I'm not speaking directly about the label. I'm speaking more so just the experience of being an artist.
Right.
And it was just so far away. You know, every single thing I did pretty much was met with a giant brick wall. It was very simple what I wanted to do. I just wanted to play music.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play it for people, and I wanted to build a community. And I came out the gate with Sometimes Backwood, which, you know, that song streamed, and that meant a lot to people, most importantly. But it was one song and no one knew who I was at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that.
You thought that?
Because that's what everyone told me.
Right.
So, because you can't, you know, go around and do a tour, or, you know, you're not going to get booked because no one knows who you are. So it's kind of like, okay, but if no one, how am I going to get?
It's the catch-22 of the industry.
Like,
yeah.
It was a very simple desire, but it required a lot of reframing on my end. The whole album, At the Beach in Every Life, is an experiment. A lot of the songs, Please Be Rude was the first song I fully self-produced on my own.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started recording, even the ones that, if I look back, that didn't make it on the album, that were strange in some way, I listened to them and I look back at how much fun I had.
That's awesome.
You know, and staying up until 2 a.m. And at this point, I'm also living back home with my parents. I'm 24. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm very fortunate that they took me in. There's this worry of, okay, I am 24 and I need to get a job, but this is something that I'm investing in, and I really want to see this through a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think that music is, you know, this album has really helped me cope with that, and also experiencing a really beautiful love in the mixture of all this. And at first I thought, these themes, like, they don't make sense to me.
You mean what the collection of songs was trying to say?
Yeah, well, they came to me slowly too, because At the Beach and Every Life, I wrote that 2 hours, the titular song, I wrote that 2 hours after I was released from my first record deal. I didn't know anything, but I knew what I was carrying forward to me, even though very few people, like, even, like, call you, or, you know, and that's what, like, a lot of what sleeping's about. It's like, people are very quick to enjoy you when you're doing well, but it's not the same when you're in a time of need. And
yeah, you know who your friends really are then in those situations.
Exactly. At the Beach in Every Life was the moment of realizing how loved I am.
This is World Cafe. We are here with Gigi Perez. We talked about At the Beach. Let's listen to a live recording of it right now on World Cafe.
For the better, then I watched you send it back into the ring. And I heard about the twister that lives inside your heart. If you speak, then I will move, then I will.
laser it bright through my eyes. Never knew, never knew you had such a filthy mouth. But you love me like my mother, kiss me like your wife. And I swear to you, I'll give you more than I have tonight. Cause the wolves are at my neck. Can't talk about that yet. They've got inside those hearts. One day they'll have to repent. On Judgment Day, there'll be food right to the bed. And you'll look and tell me, baby, you remember what I say. I know who you are, and you'll be fine. I know who you are, cause you're mine. I saw you standing, must have been a holy light. Cause I can't see and I can't feel, but the color in your eyes is saying if my dreams come up empty. Now washed up on the shore, you would find me at the beach. And every light through every door, where the boombox at your father's, walking with you at the morgue. You don't have to search when I know looking for. Oh, we could talk about it, just stare at the wall. But I think that you know better than what they think they call a luminary. No one is all they'll ever be. And how could you be no one? You're everything to me. You're everything. Everything to me. You're everything to me.
Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Gigi Perez, performance of At the Beach. At the Beach in Every Life is available now. It is her debut album. Gigi is my guest on World Cafe. I am Kaleo. 1 billion. It's about to cross the 1 billion stream threshold, Sailor Song. It's a phenomenon. You've talked about how the song came to be and how you wrote it. What's it been like to see so many people have a connection to this song?
It blows my mind, and I think that every single time I get to Sailor Song in the night and seeing the illumination in, yeah, in the faces and in the spirits, it's just one of those things I can't take credit for. I feel like that was a divine thing and a divine moment that really changed the trajectory of my life. Because at that point, and it was so special to me then, because I honestly had never been happier, although I was, it's almost like the album reveals that I have suffered so much, and yet in that moment of being independent outside of the music business where I wrote Sailor Song from, there was this joy for music that I had never felt before. And that specific song was a download. And it was almost, it was just so pure. And it was so fun. I remember sending it to my friends. Shout out to Timey. We're texting about it. It's 2 a.m. and both of us are like, what's going on? You know, I'm struggling to find the words for it, you know?
It's worth putting out, you had songs before this that had gone viral to a certain extent, had had millions of streams. It's almost like, how do you judge exponential resonation versus, wow, this really connected with people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that honestly, I can't wrap my head around the massive logical sense. I don't know how to explain it.
How about this? So I was watching this show, and I'm sure this is a common thing that's happened at your shows, but I think there were two people, I think they might have been a couple, in the first row singing along with you. And I know that it was Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko. That was a song that was was important for you to have growing up, knowing that there was representation, a song that like kind of spoke to you. Mm-hmm. What's it feel like maybe on a micro level, knowing that this song might be that Girls Chase Girls for a 15-year-old?
Yeah, that is it. I think the first thing when Sailor Song started to connect, that was the immediate thing that I realized, was seeing how many young queer people were listening and letting it into their hearts, and that it meant that to them. And I'll see people crying, and I am so aware of that. And it made me turn around in a way that I haven't in a while. And I think it's a blessing for a lot of reasons. I think right now, young queer people specifically need the older ones to step up and to show them that they do not need to be afraid. There were a lot of things that we were experiencing back then. I remember when I was 15, and the fear, you know, and I grew up, it's been 10 years since I was 15. And so I grew up and got to live a beautiful life that I didn't believe at 15 that I could have. You know, I didn't believe that that was possible. And I think that because of them, I turned around and had the moment of, wow, one, I've come so far. And two, I need to take you with me.
Yeah.
You know, like
100%.
You're going to be okay because I was okay. I did not think I was going to be okay. And because we are the same, you know, we are from the same thread.
Yes, I'm a big believer in that. I don't have kids, but I'm like, I feel like there is a connection between me and the people who come after me, even if they're not like by blood, biologically, my brother and sister, they're my people.
That's what I'm saying. I'm starting to feel like a mother. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I think that happens. It happens some for some people sooner than later, but you never know. It's a good thing. If your attitude was to heck with them kids, I'd be worried about you.
Yeah, oh my gosh, no, they are the future.
They are the future. You know? It's World Cafe. Gigi Perez has been my guest. The new album is available now, the debut album, At the Beach in Every Life. Congratulations on the record. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for being
here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Let's listen to Sailor Song live from the stage of World Cafe Live. It's Gigi Perez.
Oh, What you do, World Cafe?
Since my fingers to her mouth, the kind of thing that makes you proud, that nothing else had ever worked out. Maybe I tried other things, nothing can capture
Savior. I know that you've been worried, but you're dripping in my favor. When we're getting dirty, I forget all that is wrong. Sleep so I can see, 'cause I hate to eat so long. Sleep so I can see, and I hate to eat so long.
Thank you guys for having me tonight. It's actually the morning. It's actually the afternoon. Thank you, World Cafe, for supporting me, supporting my music. It's just such a blessing. Thank you. Finish this out with this verse.
You can run away to the walls inside your house. I could be the cat, maybe you could be the mouse. We could laugh our things that we know nothing about. We could go forever till you wanna sit it out.
Sailor Song, Gigi Perez, my guest today. Her new album is called At the Beach in Every Life. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back to World Cafe. That's Gigi Perez. Got the goods, that's for sure. Debut album, At the Beach in Every Life, available now. You can find a video of that interview on our YouTube at World Cafe. Thanks to our executive producer, Bruce Warren, for the assist on the session. And look, I'm a simple man. I come out of an artist who has a hit called Sailor Song. I look for a nautical-themed hit as well. Boy, the subject matter is quite different out on the shores of frigid Lake Michigan. Here's Gordon Lightfoot.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Thank you.
In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
Just dancing our own wake. All our favorites were playing so we could shake, 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 shake. Tiny curtains open and we heard the tiny clap of little hands of tiny. Man would tell a little joke and get a tiny laugh from all them folks sitting, drifting around on bubbles then thinking it was us that carried them. When we finally got it figured out that we had truly missed the boat.
Yeah. This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.